Welcome to HQ AF Radio. My name's Francis. And you're listening to a show about two best friends. And today we have a special guest, Danica Tan.
Danica
Tan. I'm in Germany right now, and Danica is here visiting me.
From the Netherlands.
So she has been with me for a few days, and we have been traveling internationally. And by internationally, I just mean within the city of Munich, but...
Internationally for
pretty,
both of us.
Pretty international because we're both Americans.
And we're not from Germany.
Yeah.
Step one.
Yeah. I think this is like the first time we've traveled internationally together.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I think we missed out last time when you were in Europe.
Yeah.
No, I mean in the Philippines.
Right, right, but... That doesn't count because we were with our parents. I mean, like, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, this is the first time we are in a foreign city where we don't know the language.
And we're drinking.
Prost.
Prost.
Look each other in the eye. 7 years of bad luck. All that fun stuff.
Bad sex, as the Greeks say.
Mm. Bad luck, as I say, because who wants to suffer from bad sex? No one.
Look them in the eye.
So how has it been? How's been this travel experience so far with your big brother?
Well, I mean, it could be better. My big brother has a job, unfortunately. He's got to bring in those big bucks.
Wow.
So he's So he's generally only here in the afternoons. But to be fair, this afternoon I had work to do myself. So I held this up for several hours.
I will say what's nice, though. I mean, even though I did have to work during normal work hours, we have this nice hotel room.
We do. And
we're not in a hostel.
And we are, yeah. I would normally, I don't know if I'm too old to be staying in a hostel, but I like the feel of hostels,
Okay, well,
I
do want to ask about your travel experience on this episode. And so, like,
okay.
When I was in Italy, and I forget if I had an episode about this, but Alana, like, you'll know if I talked about my hostel experience, girl. I know you listening. When I was in Italy, I stayed in a hostel, and, you know, I'm a 30-year-old man, 31 now, but at the time, 30. And I noticed it was a lot of college kids.
A lot of college kids. What was the date?
That I was there?
Yeah.
In Italy? April.
Okay. No.
It was a lot of college-age
kids.
Like, either they were doing, like, semester abroad or something, they're visiting for the weekend.
Right.
Or it was, like, just people who were maybe, like, out of college or something. But they were definitely younger than I at 30.
Yeah.
And it was interesting. It was not my cup of tea, first off, because, you know, like, I'm 30 and I'm in a stable, established job. I'm used to certain luxuries when I travel now.
Right.
Okay, I will admit that now. I prefer driving
bougie as hell.
Well, you know, like, I prefer driving to public transit for certain things. Like, if I was to travel outside the city, I am not going to...
Take the train
or something. I will just drive or
you'll rent
whatever.
The car. Okay.
If it's not accessible by transit. I would prefer a hotel room to a hostel because I don't want to share my room. I'm not in college anymore. I don't have to share my bathroom anymore because I'm not in college.
Fair.
Things like that. And so just like being in the hostel environment for me was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm in college again. It literally feels like I'm in college because it's three of us to a room. I have to wait for somebody to use the bathroom.
Okay.
I would talk about like, oh, I want to go to this like Michelin star restaurant tonight because treat myself, right? I'm in Rome once, one of the food capitals of the world. And I tried to invite some of my hostel mates with me, and they're like, oh, aren't those expensive?
Yeah. I mean, I think that is one thing that I really...
Yeah.
Well, ask your question, and then I'll go.
Well, so it's just like, so, I mean, like, obviously you're in a different place in life than I am. You are still a student yourself, but you're a little bit older now.
Grad student
and you're a little bit more traveled. Like,
yeah.
Do you feel like you still identify with the hostel experience, which... In my mind, it still caters to a certain demographic.
So, I've been to many hostels. I've seen, and I do agree with you, that the demographic tends to skew young.
Mm.
I have, however, also seen people who are there for conferences, like researchers there for conferences.
Really?
Yeah.
How old?
In their 30s into their 40s.
That stay in hostels?
Yeah, so they're
what,
maybe so...
What are they researching? Like weed?
No, so, I mean, I do think it tends to be more the social sciences. right?
Okay.
And I think what it is maybe they don't, you know, they're junior, either they're PhD students, they're postdocs who don't have their PhD, oh, their professors don't have the money to put them up in hotels, huh. Or they are young scientists who don't have enough funding to stay in a hotel, so they stay in a hostel. Huh. Because staying in a hostel means that you then have more money for food, for instance.
Right.
Right, so it's a trade-off.
Yeah.
Right, so I have seen that. I've also seen...
Oh, well so mm-hmm. Do you feel like when they have the money for food that they eat at a Michelin star restaurant? Or but let's not go to that extreme, but like...
Well,
are
if you're
they,
a scientist, no.
Are they... So they're not eating at like sit-down, but they're probably doing like a nice fast cash or casual or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, they might be... Yeah, sit down, but they're not going to be the type of restaurants where you dress up or you don't, or you feel out of place.
Okay.
So I do tend to think that, yeah, I don't think anyone I've run into at a hostel will be the type of people who will sit down for a Michelin restaurant.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
Though I have met older people who are not in the college age group. So I, for instance, I feel like, especially women, there's this demographic of women in the Americas, like North America.
American women?
Yeah, not American-American, like Canadians as well, people who are South American, so in the Americas.
Okay.
There's this demographic of women in their late 20s, early 30s, who they experience some upheaval in life, and then they go traveling. It's the eat, pray, love kind of thing, you know?
Oh, interesting.
I have met a lot of women who are doing that whole thing.
Okay,
you know, so people who are upset with their jobs and they feel like they need a change, people who just got out of a breakup.
Oh, I see. And so they quit their job on a whim and they don't have steady income, and so hostel is a steady source of income. Not a source of income, but it's cheap enough where
it's
they're not
cheap.
Where they're, you know, like they're willing to forgo a hotel.
Exactly. Plus I think it's also one of those things where you're willing to forgo the hotel, you can get a night for free. Like I've never done this, but I know of people who have traded labor in exchange for a night at the hostel.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's also a possibility. And it's also the possibility of actually doing things. So if you have very limited funds, right, you're just going to sleep in this place. You're not going to really hang out.
Right.
So why would you spend a ton of money, right, when mm-hmm. you can spend that on food? Or in the case of, like, some people I know, you can go hang gliding in Interlaken, you know, over the Alps or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a trade-off.
I can see that. I feel like... Okay, so... I think as I've grown older and more rich, or more...
more bougie.
More bougie, you know, like living the 1% lifestyle that I do.
Funny.
I think for me, though, like, part of, like, what is so... like the appeal of hotels, the appeal of maybe like being able to get your own car, the appeal of like of doing some of the more luxurious things when you do like international travel
mm-hmm.
is the fact that you have more freedom in that sense, right? Like because
right.
Because I have a car right now, I am able to travel to places that are a little bit more inaccessible.
Right.
I can go to
this.
Whatever that Disneyland castle is called.
Neuschwanstein.
Neuschwanlake, blah, blah, blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
Near
Liechtenstein. It's near Liechtenstein, if anyone's wondering.
Right, but because I'm able to do that, I'm able to experience more too, but also have a little bit more convenience as well.
Right.
And so,
I mean...
I guess what I'm trying to ask, though, is like, do you feel like a lot of the people who spend in hostels are sacrificing comfort for experience in some way?
No.
Like, no?
I don't think so, because it's just a different experience, right? So, I mean, I agree that you are sacrificing in comfort.
Okay.
I mean, I think anyone will tell you, I think if you stay in hostels long enough, you will have some strange story, you know, about how, like, oh... You went to sleep, and then when you woke up in the middle of the night, the person across from you was naked or something, you know?
Oof, I have
like
a,
some
a girl,
old,
I got
old
a story.
Naked
I
guy,
got
right?
a story.
In Rome?
In Rome. There was a hot Canadian that was
oh,
sleeping
right.
next to me. And
he was hot, at least, and not old.
He was hot.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he liked to parade around shirtless for some reason. I have no idea. But anyways.
Not that you have the proof. But, yeah, so...
So
I mean,
you're
right. There
so
is
think,
some level of discomfort, but I think the experience is different because I think a lot of times when you are staying in the hotel room, when you have your own car, it's very insular. So you experience a new place, but you don't necessarily experience the culture, and you don't necessarily experience other people. Staying in hostels, I've met more people from very, very different walks of life than I would have otherwise.
Sure. Like, I'll agree with that, that, I mean, like, it forces you to be more social. Mm-hmm. Is that necessarily your gateway to a culture that way? You're not, so, like for instance,
yeah,
like take my experience in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, that entire week I was in a hostel, I didn't meet an Italian in the hostel.
Right, of course not.
Right, like, maybe, like, so the hostel had a breakfast served with it in like a nearby cafe, and maybe I could, like, if I was there and I talked to other Italians, I could meet Italians that way. But there were no Italians staying in that hostel.
Right.
Like, do you feel like that is accurate?
I feel like that's accurate. I mean, and for instance, I know for a fact that there are hostels in the U.S. Maybe not so common, right? Because in Queens, near where I was living, there was a hostel.
You're right. In New York, it's pretty big.
In New York.
And I think in D.C., there's, like, the big cities, like, that's something.
In San Francisco, I think there are some. I would never think of staying in a hostel if I was ever there. I would go for an Airbnb. I would go for a hotel.
Right.
Right?
How come?
I think a part of it is because I feel like I know these cultures. You know, the people who are traveling through, I know. And I, you know, maybe I...
Through that are going to the hostels, you know them already?
Or
you
know what... I think you're right. It's the feeling that when I'm in San Francisco, I'm not going to learn about San Francisco from other people. I know enough about American culture. I can stay in the hotel,
I feel like you're probably not going to meet Americans in a San Francisco hostel.
Probably not.
Right.
You're right. Unless they're super poor.
Right. And I just think, like, students would never even think of that. Like, they'd couch surf first, or
neither hostels nor couch surfing are really huge in the American travel culture.
Right.
Inside the U.S.
Couch surf
US.
In terms of, like staying with
friends.
A friend.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I think that would be the first inclination. And partly because I feel like not a lot of people know about hostels in America
hostels.
To begin with. It's not
yeah.
a very popular American concept.
Well, I think for me, and it might be different for you because you're male, for me as a woman, oftentimes I travel alone.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm staying in a hostel, it's the opportunity to meet other people that I know are also traveling, that may not be, they might not be as familiar, and then we can actually do something in the evening.
Right.
Because I think if
like
I was...
Like together with that person.
Yeah, like together with those people, because I feel safer in a group
right.
in the evening than I do on my own.
Right.
So I think that's one aspect of it.
Right.
So even if I'm not meeting, you're right, I'm not going to meet someone who's, like, for instance, if I'm staying in a hostel in The Hague, I'm not going to meet a Dutch person. I'm going to meet someone traveling through.
Right.
But at least I'll go out that night. I'll see what the nightlife is like. I'll go to a nice restaurant later in the evening. Whereas if I was by myself, I wouldn't, because I wouldn't feel safe as a woman by myself.
Interesting. Yeah, I feel that. So since we're on that topic, have you seen the movie Hostel?
I've only seen bits and pieces. I have to admit, I'm not a huge fan of this gore porn kind
yeah.
of genre of movies. So,
do you feel like it gives hostels a bad name?
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I have yet to feel like I'm about to be chopped up in a hostel. So
you don't worry about getting killed.
Well, I mean,
in
general, in Europe, that kind of violent crime is not super.
I think
common.
Hostel the movie took place in Europe. I think.
It
I want
did.
To say.
Was it Eastern Europe or Western Europe?
I never watched the movie myself, so I don't know. I just feel like it would have, like, it makes sense it would have taken place in Europe, like...
Yeah, it took place
yeah,
in Europe.
Yeah.
So, one, that kind of crime is not typical in Europe.
Mm.
Two, I think that I worry more about property theft.
Right.
You know, like, damage to my property than anything else. Three, I think probably hostile happened in... Sorry to say this, but Eastern Europe. In Eastern Europe, I've always stayed with friends or in Airbnbs with someone who is also from that country. So I've never stayed in a hostel in Eastern Europe.
So there are specific regions where you would not stay in hostels.
I'm not saying that. I've just always had the opportunity to stay with friends.
Okay.
I will say, though,
well, I mean,
general,
you did just say that, I'm sorry to say this, but I would never stay in a hostel in Eastern Europe.
No, that I have not stayed in a hostel in Eastern Europe.
Oh. Then why are you sorry to say that?
I didn't want it to seem like I chose not to. I had the option of staying with friends, and I went with it.
I see.
I think in Eastern Europe, though, it's not that I wouldn't choose necessarily. I don't know about Eastern Europe. So I think Eastern Europe is one of those places I've always been super curious about. Like, I haven't even been to Hungary, and I think it's great. You know, like, I've heard it's great.
Oh.
I really want to go to Budapest.
Okay.
Right? I think I've only been to Prague, where I would couch surf, where I was couch surfing.
Right.
Romania, where I was staying with friends, and then we Airbnb'd with friends, like a Romanian friend.
Mm-hmm.
And to Greece, which is technically Eastern European, even if we don't want to acknowledge that it is.
Right.
Right? I think in any other country, like in Poland, well, also I've been to Croatia, which is also technically Eastern European, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I stayed at an Airbnb.
Right.
I think in a lot of these other countries, it's not that I wouldn't be open to the idea of staying in a hostel, especially because in these places, they speak Slavic languages, which I'm really just out of the loop for. I cannot even begin to guess.
Because it's not like close to the Romance languages or Dutch,
or
which
Germanic
you are like
language.
More like more familiar with.
Exactly.
Right.
And it's not even written in the Latin alphabet.
Right.
Right. So I've got nothing. So it's definitely, Eastern Europe is not a place I want to navigate alone, just because I know so many Eastern European people,
mm-hmm.
that there's no reason for me to navigate it by myself.
Right.
If I had to navigate it by myself, probably I would stay in a hostel, though.
Really?
Yeah. Because at a hostel, that means I can meet someone, right,
mm-hmm.
that I can travel with even for just a day.
Right.
And we can handle this issue together.
Mm.
You know, versus, well, actually, that's kind of an interesting thing. I don't know.
What?
If I'm by myself, I often feel like it's easier for me to ask for help from locals, or locals are more amicable towards me.
Well, you know, like, I feel, this isn't, like, a feeling I haven't had before. Like when I was doing Greece and Rome by myself, like,
mm-hmm.
it feels a little scary going out by yourself and maybe not asking for help, but
yeah.
Let's say, like, I was talking to a waiter and I was ordering my food, not feel like knowing if you were being ripped off or not.
Especially
not,
in Greece, right?
Right. Well, right. It's just like you're kind of hoping what they're doing is okay.
What you
or
want.
Right. Yeah, right. Right. Like,
well, in Greece, that's why they even have, I say Greece, not. I love Greek people, don't
mm-hmm.
get me wrong. That's why they have that thing in that little plaque in restaurants. If you don't receive a receipt, the meal is free.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because there are so many establishments that won't give you a receipt. They'll charge you whatever they want.
Right.
And then they rip you off, basically, that way. Or they're not paying taxes.
Huh. Interesting. And so, like, as a woman, you don't feel like you're more susceptible to that?
To being ripped off.
Right.
I think a part of it is you learn a bit as you go, right?
Mm, right.
So I think it's not that I'm not susceptible to it.
Well,
it's
so,
not that,
like, what are you learning?
So, for instance, earlier today we were having a conversation about train stations and buying tickets at the machines.
Right.
The first time I was in Rome, someone comes up to me, sees that I'm... not in Rome, I'm sorry, in Milan. He sees that I'm struggling with the machine because it's it's in Italian,
mm-hmm.
and he proceeds to order the ticket for me and then asks for payment.
Right.
You know, eventually, I would have figured it out on my own. No one's waiting in line behind me, so it's not dire.
Right.
Right? So I learned in that situation, no one here, they're not just going to help you for free.
Right.
At these ticket stations.
Right.
So the next time when I see it in Paris, even when someone is posing as the employee, I know that this is not actually it, that I should handle this on my own, this person expects money.
Right.
You know, so some of those you learn kind of the harder way.
Right.
Right?
Right.
But other times, so for instance, with couch surfing, I wasn't brave enough to start couch surfing on my own without references. I had met a girl who's Canadian when I was in Switzerland who had been traveling for a year in a hostel. She used mostly couch surfing to get around. She told me she only had one experience that was bad the entire year, and at that time, even before she stayed with that person, were red flags.
Well, and this is like couch surfing, the actual website.
Like the actual website,
right?
Yeah.
This, we're not talking about like couch surfing, the activity
with
friends. Like
friends. Yeah.
Like there's a website about couch surfing.
Yeah, where you find strangers,
right.
Basically, yeah. We're talking about that.
Right. And is it the same as Airbnb? Do you pay those strangers?
No.
Or is it, okay.
No. I mean, so in your profile, you put, like, oh, what can I offer hosts? So, for instance, for me, I put that I can make them a drink because I used to bartend, you know?
Okay.
Or I can make these really amazing American pancakes, you know?
Right.
So it's things like that.
Right.
And she mentioned, you know, sometimes, like, you'll get a message, hey, maybe this is a bit off.
Uh-huh. Oh, like, okay, so, like you see them do something and you're like, they're sketchy.
So if you feel like it's off, you shouldn't go. So for instance, when I was in Switzerland, I was going to Interlaken, which is in the south of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a message from someone in Bern, which is like mid north.
Right.
He lived north of Bern.
Okay.
He wanted to stay with me. He wanted me to stay with him. But in order to do so, I would need to change the dates of my trip. And it wouldn't be in the same direction that I was going, because he lives north of Bern.
That's weird.
Yeah. So he's like, oh, I can make you, you know, we can have some wine together, winky face. I'm like, bye. I'll stay in a hostel.
Yeah.
You know, Switzerland's expensive, but not that expensive.
It was almost like he was treating it as a dating app.
Yeah, which I think is sometimes the issue when you're a girl.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, that your host think of it as a dating app?
The Canadian girl that I met, it was a sexual harassment issue that she had.
Oh.
The one issue that she had.
Yeah.
The person was treating it as like, oh, you're blonde, you're a girl, why are you traveling by yourself if not to have sex with random people?
Wow. So. Yeah. That's intense.
Yeah.
Hmm. So you've been here for how long now?
2 years, I think, according to my residence permit.
2 years?
Yeah, a bit over 2 years.
2 years?
A bit over.
It feels longer.
Yeah.
Feels like you've been here, like, 10 years.
I wish. Do you miss me? Is that it?
I guess.
I don't know. 10 years in the Netherlands, maybe around.
Well, you know what? You know what it is? It's like you haven't been in Virginia, D.C. For longer than that, though.
Right.
Right. You've been in other places.
New York, Philly.
You live in Philly. You've lived in different places, so that's why I'm shocked to hear 2 years, but it's also because you haven't been in where our family has lived for much longer than that.
Right.
Which I guess was like, what, 5 years, I think.
You haven't lived in
Virginia.
When did I graduate? 2012 is when I graduated?
I don't know. Well, so let me think about
that.
Yeah,
so it must have been 12. Since at least 2013 or 2014 since I haven't lived there. So like 5 or 6 years.
2013 is when you had your job in Philly?
Yeah, it'd be 2013 or 2014. I should know this because I was recently looking at my resume to apply for PhDs, but...
Yeah. Yeah, so I feel like that's the reason why it feels much longer. That's why I'm surprised,
Right, but at the same time, I feel like I've always lived further away than everyone else. Like, you went to university an hour away from where our parents live, and I went to university 4 hours away. That's Alex, true. I think, was also about an hour away.
Right. Georgia Mason's like 2 hours, but like enough for Papa to come get her on a weekendly basis.
Yeah, he worked he worked not so far.
Right. So. So, you know, so you've been here for 2 years now. What are aspects of America that you miss? Like, what are, like, American things that you miss?
The cafes.
Cafes in America?
Cafes. So, cafes in the U.S. And so, I say cafes because I'm coming from the Netherlands. I also miss being able to just call them coffee shops.
Well, so can I say one thing? So before you, like, get into that, cafes in America, to me, are, like, not any different from a regular restaurant. We call them like cafe.
They're like lunch places, right?
Right, but like really, there's no distinction between a cafe and a restaurant. They're all the same. Cafe da 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 is a restaurant.
I agree with this. I say this only because I'm coming from the Netherlands. If I call it a coffee shop, I will get a place that sells weed.
Right. So that's specific to the Netherlands.
Yeah,
right.
So a completely different thing. I'm missing a coffee shop in the American sense of coffee shops.
Okay, so you're not talking about cafe. You mean, like, coffee shops. Okay,
right.
Like a Starbucks.
So, yeah, I mean, not specifically Starbucks.
Right.
But I do appreciate the hours that Starbucks holds, which is what I miss the most, because I feel like as a bachelor's student, I trained myself to work best in the evening.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. And here, at least in the Netherlands, everything closes. All the coffee shops close after 5 or 6.
Right.
So I really miss a place that's open till at least 10 in the evening.
Right.
And that's not a thing. Also, the cappuccinos, about a like a half to a third of them are foam, and I'm not a fan of that.
I feel like a lot of restaurants close at that time. A lot of places close at like, not 10. Mm-hmm. 10 is like, at least in D.C., it's like typically 10 is the closing time. Or,
right. Well, I think it like, depends on like your neighborhood, 8 or right? 9. It depends on the neighborhood you're in. So, for instance, if you're in the central part of D.C., I know that those coffee shops close at like 5 or 6 because they're serving workers who are no longer there past 5 or 6.
Right.
But would you say that your local coffee shop closes at like 8, maybe?
I don't know. Probably. Yeah. 10. I would bet 10, but maybe 8 is...
10, man. All I'm asking for is 8. 8 would be great. 10 would be phenomenal. I really miss that. The convenience of that.
Well, because I feel like I don't go to coffee shops like I used to. Like, mm-hmm. So you go to coffee shops to just really do work.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I don't appreciate that as much anymore. And mainly because the concept of co-working spaces have really taken off where I live.
Yeah.
And I like that better. I like that better because it's more like-minded people kind of like getting in and working.
Going.
Versus a coffee shop, which is a general purpose place.
It is,
right.
Yeah.
And so I'm willing to pay a little bit more to have a co-working space,
mm-hmm.
versus having a coffee shop where, you know, like, there's a lot of people coming in and out, there's a hustle and bustle, person next to you might be having a very loud conversation, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah. So I will say, I do use co-working spaces while I'm here.
Do they have
when
that
I'm
here?
Traveling. Yeah.
In New York?
Yeah. In the bigger cities, they do. I tend to use them more on Fridays, because I know I have the Italian lesson,
mm-hmm.
and so I know at 4 p.m. here, I will need a place where I can actually sit down, have a conversation, and have a good Wi-Fi connection.
Mm.
So it's good to have a co-working space for that.
Right, right. So what is the appeal for a coffee shop then?
Well, usually they have a wider fare as to what they offer.
So part of it's like food?
Yeah, part of it is the food.
Okay.
Step two is also the clientele tends to be more diverse. So you're saying that at the co-working space, you know that they tend to be more like-minded.
Right. They're either studying, like they're either like...
Well, I don't think they're studying if they're at a co-working space.
Where I'm at, they are studying.
Okay, so
like where
okay,
I'm
so
at,
you
they
do
are
have students
studying
as well.
And but mostly they are either like entrepreneurs of some sort, like small
yeah.
business owners.
So that's
or,
what I feel like,
yeah.
entrepreneurs. Like even when I was in California, we were literally right across the street from Stanford, and all the co-working spaces are filled with entrepreneurs, not
right.
with Stanford students.
Well, but like, yeah. So, like, if you're right next to the university, that's one thing. But yeah,
yeah.
Like,
but
yeah.
that's the thing. I'm right next to the university, and there are no
right.
students.
Right,
so it's
right,
all
right,
entrepreneurs.
Right. Yeah, I think you just have to consider culture. But yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I get you.
Yeah. So I do kind of like having the exposure to other people.
Yeah.
Outside of that certain mind
yeah.
frame.
One thing I like about it, too, is that because it does cater to entrepreneurs, these co-working spaces tend to have a little bit more of a startup feel that, like, I've always,
liked.
Feel.
Yeah.
But I've never gotten in D.C. because D.C.
And you've never worked at a startup.
Right. Well, because D.C. culture just doesn't have a lot of startups. It's just not about startup life. It's more about government / corporate.
Right, and NGOs, I think.
Right,
and so,
like, one of the really popular co-working spaces, WeWork.
That's here as well,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's very WeWork. Popular.
Yeah.
They have Nitro Coffee on Tap. Nitro,
yeah.
like, Coffee on Tap, and, like, all these other things.
All
they have a coffee
benefits.
Bar, and, like, I was like, fancy as fuck. And you look into the space, like, I can see them on my way to work sometimes.
Yeah.
You can look into their space, and it's just fancy. It's just nice. Better than the offices that I have at my job. It's like,
yeah.
I wish I could just work there on daily. Like,
well, I mean, that I think that also makes sense because I think that catering to people who are going for that startup kind of mentality, that startup culture.
Right.
And in startups, they know that they cannot offer the same competitive salaries as big companies. So they offer these other benefits, and a part of it is this really nice space to work, right?
Right, right.
And having Nitro coffee, having a cereal bar, because
yeah.
that was also a thing in Soho. There was a coffee, there's a co-working space that had a cereal bar.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. I feel like my ideal co-working space, though, as much as I enjoy just the atmosphere of it, it would also have to have some sort of alcoholic beverage involved, which, like, I'm missing. Like, I'm missing. But, like...
I feel like, yeah, especially yeah. because for, what is that, Write Drunk, Edit Sober, and Ernest Hemingway. So I think especially if you're doing creative work, it's much more helpful to have a glass of wine, a glass of beer, instead of the yeah. cup of coffee.
Yeah. But, you know, like, I understand why they don't do it, because it's too easy to get to, like, it's too easy to cross the line of, yeah, like,
it's also creatively
drunk to, like... wasted drunk, and then yeah. it no longer becomes a co-working.
But it's also a bureaucratic issue, right? Then this space has to apply for a liquor license, at least in the U.S.
Mm. Right. Interesting. So, how come you can't work at home, then?
I think I've just trained myself to not be... that's just how I've trained myself. I feel like I don't get as much work done. I feel like I'm very, very good at distracting myself and or procrastinating.
Yeah.
You know, whereas when I'm there, when I'm with other people, like... You know me, I have this neurotic habit of pacing.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah. if I'm out in public, I cannot physically do that
yeah,
without looking
true.
Like I'm psychotic.
Yeah.
Right? So it keeps
yeah,
me from
I
doing
mean,
that.
Like, Danica did it, this was trying to do it in our hotel room recently, so.
This is true.
Yeah.
I was trying to hide it, but this is true.
Yeah, I could tell. I could see it. It
yeah.
was there, the itch to pace.
Yeah. I have a very large room here, which is great, and I'm on the first floor, so. Not
yeah.
here, but at home in
oh.
the Netherlands.
Oh, I was like...
And I'm on the ground floor, so no one can hear me.
She doesn't... She didn't pace at full speed, though.
Oh, my God. I found out once... My roommate came downstairs once from the very top. He has the room... So he's not directly over me. There's
yeah.
one floor separating us, and then he's above me.
Okay.
He comes down. He's like, Danica, have you been hearing this pounding? No, I have no idea what you're doing. What you're talking about.
Wait, did you know? You knew the entire time?
Yeah. He's just like, have you been, like, he's like, have you been, like, exercising or something? I'm like, no, I've been reading.
Wow. How hard had you been pacing?
Very hard, man.
I don't call it pacing. It's interesting that
Skipping.
You call it pacing.
Well, no, it depends. If I know my roommates are home, it's pacing.
So,
if they're not, it's
right.
skipping.
So, like, this morning, I would call it pacing because you were walking.
Yeah.
Like, at our parents' home, you were definitely pacing, like, and she's, like, galloping full. She's,
like
galloping. She could
no.
be neighing, and she could be a horse.
Like, my dog and my sister's dog will follow me around because I'm moving that fast.
Guinness would follow you around.
Yeah, Guinness follows me, as does Chewy. Did Chewy. As
but,
did Chewy.
But Guinness is... Like, there's no room up there. There's no... So, she does it, like, at the second floor of her house, and it's, like, there's hardly
no,
room
usually
for...
the first floor, no. Because
okay.
Mom and Papa are not so happy about the carpet, because it gets flat.
The carpet and, like, the skin marks, or whatever it's called.
The grime marks from the hands, if I touch
yeah,
the walls.
Right, yeah.
I try not to touch the walls now,
oh.
but also they're not happy about the dust.
The dust?
This is a real problem. I have an issue...
Yeah, what is
because,
this?
You know, it shakes the...
I thought you were going to say, like, all my skin particles are just coming off and I generate a lot of dust.
No.
You're shaking dust from the ceilings?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So that's... I feel like here I don't generally do it because my roommates are usually home, or I don't know for sure if they're not home.
Well, so you're in the bottom, the zeroth floor
the
in Europe.
The floor.
Okay.
Yeah. The ground floor to be
But they can't
sure
hear you then if you're...
That's what I thought. And then my roommate came down. We literally have an entire empty floor with couches and everything separating
I feel like you must have been going full pace, though. You must
yeah.
have been, like,
I have
slamming into
room.
The wall.
I was not slamming. I cannot physically slam into the walls. One, because my hammock is in the way. To be, oh man, I sound like a real freak. To be, the other side, there's my desk.
No, because I feel like, okay, so like at home, when you do it,
I do
you literally
walls.
Like you
I've
hit
tried
the
to
walls.
Stop, man. I've tried to stop.
You hit the wall, like the wall is like, it's not just like where your hands sit.
It's
like up and down the wall. And so,
No. He says up and down like it's a wide range in the Y.
It
it's
is.
More like a wide range in the X.
Like on the x-axis.
Yeah, on the x. More horizontal than vertical.
Maybe. But, you know, Alex painted over it, so it's not like...
Oh, did she? I didn't know.
Before she and Max left, she painted all the walls of the skin marks that you've left.
Excellent.
So there's no evidence anymore.
Yeah, so. No one can prove. No one knows.
So why do you feel like you pace?
I don't know. A part of it, I think, is I think better that way.
But it's not like you're thinking about work.
Sometimes I am.
Oh, really?
Yeah, sometimes I am.
So your best, like, work ideas come from pacing?
From walking, yeah. Not necessarily full-on skipping down the hallways. Hmm. But I do remember this being an issue since I was a kid.
Really?
Yeah, so I remember, for instance, our first home in Virginia. Mama and Papa would sometimes comment because the little girl downstairs was one of my classmates.
Right.
And I do also remember it being a thing when we lived in Washington State.
Wait, so what happened with this little girl?
We knew the family, so they would always say, like, oh, they can hear you, or something like that, you know?
I don't even remember that. I don't remember that.
The Densons. Her name was Salita Denson.
I don't remember this. I don't remember this at all. My first memory of you doing it, and I don't even remember you, like, really doing it. Like, I feel like you've done it for as long as we've lived in the house.
Yeah.
Like, in the house. Like, I feel like you've been doing it since then. I don't remember it. I don't remember it before that.
It's very impulsive. I think a lot of times I feel restless. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It's like I have to. I think especially, for instance, if I've been with... So there are very, very few people that I can be with for extended periods of time without feeling drained.
Right. But that part of it is like being an introvert in general.
Right. So especially if I've been with someone else for a long, long time and it's one of those people that drains me.
Right.
I will definitely, like, I won't go to sleep at a normal time. I'll be pacing.
Right.
Because my mind is just running, so I am running.
That is your recharge.
I think,
yeah. Feel like you recharge by pacing?
I feel like that's it. It's like my mind is running, so I am running.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Why is your mind is running because you were with this other person?
For many people. Oh, a lot of times, yes. If I'm with other people, my mind will run, and it may be for other reasons as well.
Okay. Because I was going to say, like, even, like maybe you were...
But I feel like this was something, like, definitely when we were living in Woodbridge in Northern Virginia, this was an issue.
Yeah.
I want to say that it was an issue before then, and I don't know if I did it compulsively when we were in Washington State, but I do remember going back and forth behind the couch because there was this really wide area with gray and black rug.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I don't recall it. Like, I really don't recall it.
Maybe it was not as bad when I was much younger.
Yeah, maybe I just don't remember. Because, like, you know, like, when you're younger, you're just, like, more active in general.
Yeah.
And maybe you were just always running. We were just always running. But I just don't, I remember it because... I think sometimes when you pace, you just, like, talk to yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because a lot of times I'm thinking.
Right.
Right. And I feel like it's been super, 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 super difficult now that you and Alex are both married, right?
What does that have to do with you pacing?
Because, so your significant others are here more often, are home more often, right? That's and our true. Parents have the most space where I can do this.
Oh, I think Max knows you pace.
Yeah, I think Max knows. I think Chris probably also knows.
I think because I've told him, but not because he's witnessed it.
But both Max and Chris, I will not do it if they're there. Max, I mean, he's been living in our parents' house, but that's the thing. It's not like I can full on skip. I'm just walking.
And also, he had to paint after you, so.
That's true. I'm just walking. But I think, for instance, one time Alex was telling me he was really creeped out because they'd gone to sleep, and I had not yet gone to sleep, and it was really late at night, and everything else is dark, and I remember this. Walking downstairs, and he doesn't understand why I'm walking.
She's possessed by a demon. it's
Beelzebub.
I'm trying to think if, like, I have any neurotic behaviors like that, or if that's something like any of us have that.
Neurotic.
You called it neurotic earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You called it a neurosis.
Obsessive, maybe. No, it's something I can do. I can go a long time without doing it.
But you feel like you have to do it, though.
I don't feel like I have to.
No, it's gonna, like, what's the word? Like, you don't feel like an addiction to it. Like, it's not going to, like, consume you if you don't do it.
No.
But you do it. And if given the chance, you will do it.
Yeah, I think that's the best way to do it. If given the chance, I will do it. And it's something that I'm socially conscious of. Because I remember in university, in college, when I was living with Emily, she caught me one evening. Like, she came home one evening, and I was pacing around our living room. And, like, just pacing, just walking. And I look at her, she looks at me, and she goes, "Oh my god, I'm so glad I'm not the only one."
Really?
Yeah, she does it as well.
Stop. She does?
Dead serious.
Huh.
And, what is it, there's a PhD in my lab who does it. He will get up even when I'm there, because he forgets that I'm there working on the other side of the lab. And then he sees me, and it's just like, "Oh, you're still here." And I know someone in a cafe. No, I don't.
Why is that weird?
No. Well, so that's the thing. A lot of times when I'm doing it, I wouldn't do it because in the lab, I'm engaged in something really active. I'm making my robots, right? So I'm not going to pace because I'm in the middle of making something.
Right.
But for instance, he's a controls engineer, so he does a lot of programming. He does a lot more math. I wouldn't say it's necessarily, it's more mental in a different way.
Right, but he's also not, like, putting things together. It's more of a programming, he's at the computer.
Exactly.
Right.
So if I need to think about a process or how can I get this done in a program, then I would do it in the way he does it. But if I'm here making something and it's, like, I've already thought about the, if I'm making something, I've already thought about the process before I've even begun putting it together.
Okay.
So I'm just going to go through and do it.
I want to expand on this thread of, like, why you wouldn't pace with him. let's go back to, like, Emily. So you know that she paces.
Mm-hmm.
You knew that she paced. Like, you guys, like, she found out your secret and she revealed her secret. And now you guys are both pacers to each other.
And we know.
Did you pace together at any
point? No.
No.
It's just very solitary, I think.
You think?
For me, when I do it, I'm with my own thoughts. And I think it's the same for her as well, because she's very introverted as well.
Okay. And so let's say you had to be, like, in a long-term relationship and you live together.
Oh, my God, that's
so
worse.
What happens then?
I don't know. To be quite honest, though, I have been offered to live with David, actually.
Really?
Yeah, he offered to let me live with him in his Midtown apartment when I was having issues with my landlord.
Right.
My first reaction to him, though, was, "Oh, my God, but where will I store all of my shoes?"
Did you say this to him?
Yes.
Okay, but was your other reaction, like, how will I pace in front of you?
No. So that is an issue when I think of, like, oh, my roommates. Especially so in that apartment, you saw my room was pretty small compared to the living space.
Right.
I've actually never paced in the living space there because I'm always afraid.
With Emily?
No, in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The one in Queens.
Right.
And so it's that little space, man. I can make do with the little space.
So,
but obviously, then I'm just walking.
So, okay, so you're not, you wouldn't do it in front of a friend who is also a pacer.
Yeah.
And you like, if you were living with David and he was gonna, like, you wouldn't pace in his apartment. Well, like, if he was home or whatever.
Well, I don't think I would pace with him there, because it's just, it's such an, this is me in my own headspace.
Right. So, let's say you had a long-term significant other and you guys were living together. At what point would you have come out as a pacer? At what point would you have come out, and when would you feel comfortable pacing in front of them? Because you pace in front of me and Alex, and that's fine.
Yeah,
you pace in front of our family.
With me.
Right.
Well, that's the thing. I have not yet paced in front of Chris or Max.
Right.
They I'm sure.
Right,
but
like, now I'm talking about a long-term significant other.
Yeah.
And you're living together. So, like in the timeline of this relationship, when would you have
I don't know.
Come
maybe 5 years in?
Like, when would it have been comfortable for you to be like, "Hey, I have to tell you something. I'm a pacer." And then, like, the second milestone, when do you feel comfortable pacing in front of them?
So, I mean, with the first one, I don't know if I would ever just come out and say it. Emily, for instance, just found me pacing one day.
Okay.
Right? So I think there's just that. So it's like, so by the way, I pace. You know, it seems like one of those shameful secrets. Like, so by the way, when I'm really stressed, I smoke, you know?
Right. I mean, I don't know if that's people keep that as a secret, but
I've been watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine lately. I got seriously hooked, and yeah. That's the thing that Amy Santiago does.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you watch it.
No, I don't.
No,
okay. Anyways.
So, the other thing, though, with, like, when do you feel comfortable enough to pace around them, I feel like it's the other question. I feel like there's another aspect to that, in that it's a question of, do I feel comfortable enough being with this person and not doing anything?
I see. Interesting.
Right? Because okay. I feel like, for instance, you and me, me and Alex, we can be in the same room, we can be in the same vicinity, in beds right next to each other, and not be doing the same activity.
Right. Like, having, like, at what point can you have a comfortable silence?
Yeah, a comfortable silence. I feel like there are so many people I know, people who would consider themselves my close friends,
right,
whom I wouldn't pace around, because I know that they would then feel like, hey, we can do something together, we can, you know, like, I can also walk with you. I don't want you to walk with me. I'm in my own headspace right now. You know, like, you can do your own thing. I don't care.
Right.
Yeah, so I think a part of it is just, like, getting to that point where you know that you can do, where you know that you can be together, but separate.
Okay. I feel, so, like, yes or no, you have close friends that you have, like, you can have comfortable silences with.
Yes.
So, how many of those close friends know you pace?
I've never had to spend that much time with them. I don't know.
Okay. None so, of them. How many of them would you feel comfortable telling them that you would pace?
I would tell them.
Okay. So, now let's take that set of people. Like, how many... So, after you've told them,
mm-hmm.
at what point would you want to pace in front of them, or feel like you could pace in front of them?
So, I feel like...
Right, like, that's like you not... tell them... And then you're like, okay, da-da-da-da-da. And then you'll have, like, a long weekend together.
I feel like that's also... So, I mean, I have had this scenario with the long weekend together. But I feel like it's not the same, though. Because a lot of times, like you were saying, I haven't been home. I haven't lived in the same place for such a long time.
Right.
So, all of my closest friends live in that area.
Right.
So, when I see them, I only get to see them for a short amount of time.
Right.
So, I would... never pace in front of them because we're doing other things.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'm asking hypotheticals that you're not sure of right now. Like, you've just never been put in that
situation. Right, because that situation is so far from the actual reality that I have with my friends.
Okay. So in the ideal sense then, what would these ideal milestones be like for you then?
What do you mean?
So let's say, let's go back to this ideal significant other. If you found somebody in your mind, like, would you even hide the fact that you were a pacer? How would you, like, go about addressing this as with your significant other? Because I feel like it's, I don't want to say integral, but you do it. Like, it is a compulsive thing. And if you're going to be around somebody for a long time, you're going to have to do it eventually. Like, you're not going to just hide it for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, what is the ideal situation for you kind of addressing this? My current
roommates after 2 years don't know.
Only right, but that's different because, like, eventually you're going to leave.
Yeah. Well, no, yeah.
Well, you know, eventually you know.
I have to, yeah.
Right.
I can't have my own room.
Right.
Yeah.
Can't have your own room. I mean, presumably, yeah. You're not going to, like, be in a different situation.
So what is the ideal?
Right. Like, in your mind, have you even thought about this, I guess? Like, how would you even address this with a long-term significant other?
So, I mean, admitting that I do it, I don't think I have an issue. Well, I would say that I don't have an issue so much.
Okay, how would you say it?
But, I mean, I would say that, but I don't know, because at the same time, I never do it when Max or Chris are around, even if I know perhaps Max can hear me.
But, like, would you be like, okay, Francis, I have something I have to tell you.
No. I think it's like a hammock, though. So, for instance, this past week we were doing speed dates as part of our hiring process for the design lab where I work. So the possible candidates go through two rounds. One is a normal interview. If you pass that, you go to the speed date where you sit down in a quick interview with each of the design lab members.
Oh, I see. Interesting.
Right? So okay. I was doing that, and I asked someone, well... You know, we're all a bit strange, we're all a bit weird. What makes you weird?
Yeah.
Right? And I think that word weird is kind of jarring to people.
Right.
And it's hard for them to admit these things that are maybe out of the norm because everyone wants to fit in.
Right.
And they don't want to own these things that make them weird.
Right.
Right? So right. I think for me, when I ask this question, I tend to say, well, I sleep in a hammock.
Mm.
Right? Because that's pretty unusual.
Right.
But I would put the pacing in the same place, like, with the hammock. I would probably say that it's a bit more normal than the hammock.
So you would not divulge... So, which would you divulge first, pacing or hammock sleeping?
Either. Well, I probably... In that context, I would divulge the hammock because the hammock is more unusual than the pacing.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like the hammock is more unusual than the pacing.
Hmm.
Right?
I don't know, but I feel like...
Because I've met other pacers.
Right.
I've
but
never
it's like,
met other hammock sleepers.
But it's like, how do I describe this? You're choosing to sleep in the hammock. The
yeah.
hammock is not a part of your compulsions, your personality, whatever. You don't choose to be gay. You don't choose to be bisexual. You don't choose to be lesbian. You can choose to sleep in a hammock. You can choose to sleep in a mattress. Like,
yeah.
there's a choice there. I don't think you have it in you to just... Cold turkey, stop pacing.
But I have.
Forever.
Well, forever is a hard thing to say. I've never had to do it for forever.
Okay, what is the longest time?
The longest time, I think, is about a little over a month.
You've stopped for a month?
Yeah, because I was traveling the entire time.
Mm. And so, when you started back up, what was that situation like?
I was back in my house.
Right. So, have you made a concerted effort to just... stop?
No, because I've never felt like I've had to. But the thing is, I feel like, so for instance, I don't do it if I've been hiking a lot. I don't do it if I've been walking a lot throughout the day.
So you've had like a lot of physical activity, so you don't really need to.
Yeah, maybe I'm like a dog, you know, like they say certain high energy dogs, you need to take them out running or whatever, otherwise
right.
they get really destructive.
Right.
I start pacing if I don't have my energy out. Though when I lived with Emily, I ran every morning, so I don't know.
So your significant other has to walk you every
no,
single day.
No, because I would rather go by myself.
Interesting. Do you, Alex or I, have any sort of idiosyncrasies? Because I feel like out of the three of us, Alex and I can point to you. Like if you were
as the most idiosyncratic, weird kind of sibling.
Well, in terms of just like the one habit that you do a lot. Like,
yeah.
you have that very specific thing that you do that is just outside
that
of the...
That you guys don't do.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Nothing?
But to be fair, I haven't lived with you guys in a long time.
Lay it on us.
I haven't lived with you guys in a long time.
Yeah. I feel like,
I wouldn't say compulsive, you know? Like, now I think of like, oh, when we argue, but that's not the same thing.
No. No, yeah. Like, I feel just like, yeah, just, you know, like, in a zero, normal state, is there something that we just do unconsciously?
No, I mean, not that I know of. I feel like if I had to think of something, it'd be something for Alex, and I don't know.
Or even just, like, our parents. Like, I don't know if they don't pace.
I don't think they do anything compulsively.
Yeah.
No.
I don't even know if you're, like, what we can call your pacing is compulsive, though.
I don't know.
Not that
I mean,
I'm
because
a psychologist
it's one of those things,
like,
I've stopped for long periods of time.
Right.
Right? And it's not that I don't know the reason why, you know, not like those people have to turn the doorknob three times, you know? It's like I said, my mind is running, so I am running.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know.
Hmm.
I do often wish I can channel it into something more productive.
Right?
Like, I could be reading in the time that I'm doing this.
Yeah. I've thought about that, about, like, oh, you know, playing video games. I could be doing something like my homework right now.
Yeah.
But it's relaxing, and so I will not stop.
Yeah. But the thing is, if I'm reading, if I read for a long time, I also don't feel the need to skip afterwards or to pace afterwards.
Hmm.
Mostly depending on the book.
I see.
I think there are very few books. So, for instance, Neil Gaiman once wrote a short... Well, yeah, he has a short story that's just so deeply disturbing.
Right.
In the best possible way I can say disturbing, that I just couldn't sleep afterwards, and I couldn't sit still.
Really?
Yeah. It was just so deeply disturbing on a mental and emotional level that I could not.
That you were just skipping?
Not skipping, just pacing. Just like, oh my God.
I've had moments like that, but not where I skipped. It was like my wedding night. I was so... like the wedding night, like the day after the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So excited about how awesome it was that I couldn't sleep. Chris and I couldn't sleep, but yeah. I've had moments where I was overcome by emotion where I just could not sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, definitely I've stopped, because I feel like people who have addictions, you know, like,
well, that's,
if they're
that's
around
like,
people, they hide it and they go into the bathroom because they can't last a day without
well,
it.
Well, and addictions are different because, like, you're, I guess, like, one part of it is like a physical thing, right? Like,
yeah,
like there's
like
there's
the
a physical
your brain
factor,
is different. Yeah.
Or it's like more of a emotional physical. Like you're more prone to addiction through your physiology.
Yeah.
Right.
But what if it's just that I'm ADHD or something like that, and I've never had a proper way to put it out other than this.
I don't know. Have you joined Reddit communities and?
No, Reddit is how I solve many problems, like my taxes, because they're too complex for the IRS.
And
but...
some maybe there's a subreddit out there for you.
Help, I hate.
I would love to find
but
out.
I do find that the other people who have also done it are also very introverted people.
Done it like on the internet sense, or like you've like
people
the people
that
you've met.
The other pacers I've met in real life are also.
I want to come up with a new name for them now.
Pacers Anonymous.
Pacers sounds like a running store. Like
it does.
Like we need something else. We need something great. Gazelles.
Gazelles. I feel like that's more energy than it's necessarily involved.
Cage dogs.
Sometimes
the cage bird. Cage bird syndrome. So, Donica, it's been good having you on the show. I feel like we got a lot of great content, a lot of great interview questions.
How perfunctory.
I know. I feel like I've learned so much about you.
Have you?
I have, in terms of you just not being a closet pacer.
You knew this before. What do you mean?
I know, but you're like,
you've experienced the pacing.
In a way, you're sort of in the closet.
I'm not in the closet about that. It's that no one ever asked. No one's ever been in my personal space.
Why is
space
anyone
going
to ask?
Exactly.
Exactly. That's what it means to be in the closet. You should be
In the closet, I feel like, kind of implies that I purposely hide it.
Well, I mean, kind of.
Do I? Yeah, that's
true. I mean,
I did lie about it to my roommate.
Yeah, you
and I hide it from Max and Chris.
Yeah,
I only admit to it.
I know.
When
we are recording this for the internet, so you know.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's our like 13 people, but you know.
Damn these 13 people. Damn them.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I've learned.
If you two are a closet pacer, I'm here for you. Just so you know.
I'm not. I'm sorry.
Your 13 people might be.
I mean, I came out as gay. Does that count?
No.
Wow.
It's now more socially acceptable to come out as gay.
Are you minimizing my experience right now, Donica?
Are you minimizing mine?
Is it more socially... I was going to say stigmatic, but that's I don't think that's a word. What is more looked down upon?
Than pacing? I don't know.
Being
an unrecognized problem in society.
Being gay or being a caged bird?
Or being OCD?
Are you OCD?
I think that's the closest I can come, man.
I've come up with a new name for it. Caged bird syndrome.
No, I feel like OCD... If I told someone that I'm clinically diagnosed with OCD, I think... That is less socially acceptable, maybe, than being gay. Depending on the country you're in.
I don't know about that. It's...
So if I'm in Greece, for sure, it's more socially acceptable.
I mean,
to be
I think now we're
gay.
like going into a mental health, how people treat mental health in general.
Exactly.
Discussion, but I don't think that you are suffering from a disorder.
I hope not.
Yeah, I don't think you are like really
really
obsessive compulsive.
I'm glad that you recognize this.
Right. I think you're just in the closet about this particular work.
Habit.
Right.
I mean, It's just that there are weird things. If people ask me what makes me weird, I'll say the hammock. The hammock is a weirder thing.
I mean, I'll say, like, oh, I have plants.
That's not weird. People have plants. Why would you say that?
I have
that?
A lot of plants.
So?
I...
There's a woman who filled her Brooklyn apartment until it was a jungle with plants.
God, I would love that. Chris, if you're listening right now,
You're getting more plants while you're away.
I want that. I want that. It's true. It's true.
Chris is one.
You know,
my
goal for this
God
summer.
God damn it! Now, if Chris never knew, he knows.
About your pacing,
yeah,
girl, he knows.
I thought you said he didn't.
He didn't watch you. I told you. I said he did. He wasn't watching you. He has never seen it firsthand.
God damn you, Chris! God damn you!
He knows.
Oh, I guess we didn't know if Max knew. He's only seen the evidence.
No, Max knows, too.
I thought one of them didn't know.
No, I feel like... So Max has seen it firsthand. Max... Or Chris hasn't seen it.
Because he saw me one time...
Right.
Pacing in the dark.
Right.
Walking around in
right.
the dark, yeah.
Right. Chris hasn't seen that firsthand yet. I mean, because, like, Alex was like, yeah, we've had to cover up all the stains on the walls.
So now we know the true reason why... So the true reason why I'm doing my PhD... In Europe instead of in the U.S., and so that they never have to know.
So she can,
I can
continue to
be
in the closet.
Problem.
Be
yes.
Closeted caged bird.
Yep.
Yeah. Or maybe she's just called the closeted bird syndrome.
That's true, because if you're in a closet and you're in a cage as a bird, it's
the same.
Very similar, yeah. Well,
you should just be out and proud.
I mean, what? Do I go up to people? So, by the way, I skip. You should know this.
I feel like that, so, like, I feel like that's how you should approach your significant other. It's like, you know, like...
Why? I mean, my roommates, I feel like this makes sense.
No, well, but no, your long-term significant other. So, like, okay, so, I know you didn't ask, but this is, like, I think how I would approach it if I had a pacing problem. Pacing...
Why is it a problem?
Pacing syndrome. If I had a pacing syndrome.
Okay.
If I had your syndrome, I would be like, okay. It wouldn't... I probably wouldn't mention it through the dating phase. Like, not before moving in. So...
So, by the way, now that we're moving in together...
Right. And, but I wouldn't even say it like that. I would probably approach it around the time that... You like the question might be asked, but a little bit before it, I'd be like, "Hey, so you know, like, I would bring it up in such a way to be like, hey, you know, like, one of my things that I have to do when I'm thinking, like, when I'm by myself, you know, like, when you're starting to learn about somebody, it's like, oh, I am. One of the things I like to do when I think is like I like to walk around, you know, like it helps me kind of process information, and that's just kind of how I get through the day. Like, I'm an introvert." And that's how I do these things. Like, I pace.
So I was imagining it. Do you know those people who go on, like, these diets and they make a big deal about the fact that they're on a certain diet?
Sure.
You know, like, oh...
I'm paleo.
Yeah, oh, I'm paleo or something, right? And they're huge about it. Everything in the waking moments, they're paleo, paleo, paleo. And then all of a sudden, one night, it's like 1 o'clock in the morning, you calm down, they're having a midnight snack, and they're eating ice cream. And they just look at you like, oh, yeah, so every once in a while, I eat ice cream, you know? Like, a guilty pleasure. Like, the one thing that, you know, like, I'm paleo 24 hours of the day, except for now.
That's like...
I imagine it like that.
That's a little bit worse because, like, in this scenario that you've made up, like, they are lying.
What?
Oh, right. Like, well, I'm assuming, like part of this diet, like, let's say, if, like, they were caught eating ice cream. Part of this diet is, like, oh, well, I swore off candy. It's like sugar, or I swore off dairy, and now they're eating dairy. Like,
okay,
that's the other way.
If I may go a personal way. So when Francis came out to me, right?
Right.
I was living with him at the time, and it was his birthday. I was expecting him completely to come home at a normal time so that we can go out, we can have a nice dinner together for his birthday. He did not. I got stood up by my own brother.
Was I out for my birthday?
He was.
Oh, I
was. He
was
on a date with a young tennis-playing person who was younger than our sister. And we were both like,
no,
what
he
the
was
fuck?
Not. He was not. He was my age.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
He was definitely not Francis' age.
I swear he was my age.
He was not Francis' age.
I know. He was my age. I know he
was
my age.
He comes back.
Maybe you're confusing two different people because at the same time, I was dating a college kid.
Someone's playing. Someone's a player.
I was. No, you know what? I'm not committed until I'm committed.
Francis does not have that much game anyway.
You know, I'm not committed until I'm committed.
Anyway.
And it's true. At the same time, I was dating a tennis player and a college kid.
Anyway, Francis came back with a cupcake from Georgetown Cupcakes.
Yeah.
At this time, like I'm saying, he does not know, or I do not know for certain that he's gay. Right? He comes back with this cupcake, and I ask him, oh, okay, that's cool. So you went to Georgetown Cupcakes after work. How was it? Who did you go with? Right? And he goes, oh, I was on a date before I asked who with. He goes, oh, who with? I go, oh, who with? He goes, with the guy. You know, kind of like, I caught him red-handed with the cupcake. So instead of straight up lying to my face that he was on a date with the girl, he just admits that he's on a date with a guy.
Right.
So he's not, at this entire time, he's not been lying about his sexuality. He just hasn't been telling me that, hey, I'm gay. Right. I imagine my skipping to be like this. It won't be, hey, I skip, I pace. Just one day, they catch me with the proverbial cupcake, and I'm like, oh, so by the way.
I know, but so why do they have to catch you?
Why did I have to catch you with the cupcake?
Because a little bit more context behind this story. Before I was dating guys, I was also seriously dating a woman.
This is true.
Exactly, for like 2 years. And so, before I had really come to terms with my sexuality, I was, like, already kind of gay to all my close friends before Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
I dated Lynn, confused a few people, and then, like, after Lynn, I was, like, coming back into being gay, or, like, finding out, like, oh, I really like guys a lot. And then, you know, like, dating this, I think he was, like, my third guy after Lynn. That's when you were living with me, and that's when it was like, okay, now I'm feeling more comfortable in telling you.
Okay.
Right. So, you know, like, there was a little bit of exploration for me.
So
like, before
me, though...
You're not exploring skipping. This has been part of your life for years.
But the thing is, I wouldn't consider it an integral part of my life. If I have to think of the makeup of my day, it doesn't take up a lot of time. If I have to think of whether or not I can go... You know, like I think of someone who smokes cigarettes.
Okay.
Right? A lot of people I know who smoke cigarettes cannot go even a day without it.
Right.
I can go more than a day.
Well,
because
that's like a, like, that, but, I mean, that comes back to the addiction. But, like, why do you need to have it be hidden and then finding out? Like, why do they have to stumble upon it?
Because it's not a major enough part of my life for it to be. So, by the way...
Right. So, I get that for friends, but like I'm saying, we're talking long term significant other, and this is like right. For me, it's like you don't have to tell them in the dating phase, but this is like right before the moving in phase.
Okay.
That's when I think like okay, well, I'm going to prepare you for this. That way, you don't think I'm possessed by a demon.
No, I would also then go, because it's not one of those things that it's, I don't consider it central enough to my life to be like, hey, by the way, you know?
Okay, so I hear what you're saying, and you
disagree.
Well, and let me point you back to another conversation we had earlier in the day, where you discussed, we were discussing why changing phone numbers is, like, sort of like a death, in a way.
Okay.
Right? Yes. And so, like, you each had to change phone numbers earlier, was it this year, last year?
Last year, I think.
And you only told a close number of people, like, all your close friends, but not anybody else.
Yes.
Which I feel like is a cardinal sin, because if you are going to interact with, like any sort of people, it doesn't even have to be... your close friends or your coworkers, like whoever would have your number and you interact with, you need to tell that, like, no matter how close they are, you need to tell them that you changed your number. Because how long, like in your situation, how long did this poor guy with your number now had to deal with people calling his number?
I find it so hilarious.
Yeah,
though.
But it's maybe funny the first one or two times, but then it's like an annoyance for that guy. and then also a kind of an annoyance for all your other friends that didn't do it. You know, like, you've kind of committed a social sin there.
So, I feel like a part of it stems with a difference in our personalities. You are more comfortable with having your public life out in public than I am. Do you have an Instagram, so the only form of social media that I have is Facebook. You have an Instagram that you actively keep up with.
Sure.
Right?
Right.
I do not.
What does that have to do with telling people that you changed your number?
I think a part of it is I tend to keep my circle closer, and I don't share information with people outside of that circle.
So
do you... it feels like you do.
So let's go back to the situation then. Do you feel like you were okay in what you did there? In that situation, was it okay for you not to have told those other people who, yet your number had changed?
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. And why?
So the people who needed it the most, you know, the people I told right away were the people that I know were most likely to contact me.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
The people, like, with, for instance, my group partners, they had never before contacted me in that way, so it was weird that they contacted me in that way.
So you know, why did they have your number before?
They had that number before, usually because it's just like, well, just in case, it's perfunctory that you exchange it.
How many people contacted that number after the fact?
My one Romanian friend.
Well,
Let me
restate that. After the fact, how many... because I feel like this is better quantitatively. How many people had to ask you for your new number?
None of those people had to ask me for my new number, actually.
None of them?
None of them.
How did you know that they contacted the guy then?
Because what had happened... So, for instance, with Carol, I'd already contacted her via my new number. Mm-hmm. But when she tried to send text messages, she hadn't updated the number in her phone. So she had my new number, she just didn't use it. Or, with some people, they thought that, oh, this is your international number, not your U.S. number. They didn't realize that it was one and the same.
Even though it was an American number?
Even though it was an American number, they assumed that because I was not currently in the U.S., it was not meant to be used while I was both in the U.S. and outside of the U.S.
So you don't actually know how many people contacted that number then?
No.
I mean, like, just...
So that's the thing. Most of the people that I would have contacted and felt needed to have the new number right away...
Right.
They got that message that it was a new number. Right. Other people are people who probably would have contacted me first via Facebook.
Interesting. I guess, both from a social standpoint, but also from a, like, an efficiency standpoint, I think I would have, like, I get the close friends, like, sharing that information. I would have extended it to maybe not acquaintances, but, like, the people in between.
I feel like the reason I didn't is because I've seen so many Facebook messages where people are like that and they post their new number and it's just like, yeah, but who really cares?
Right.
Look at you.
Right.
You person.
Right, and part of it's because, it's... like for me, I feel like, wow, you've really overreached. Like, I don't care about your number. I've never contacted you before.
Yeah, and usually it's also like, man, haven't you heard of backing up your contacts? That's also the other part of it.
Right, right.
You know?
Right. I mean, which, you haven't done that, apparently.
I have backed up my contacts.
Wait, backing up your contacts?
All of my contacts
are... Oh, because they are asking for their numbers. Right,
yeah,
right,
I go, new number, please send me yours. I'm like, nope.
Right, no, it should be like, no, yeah, like, those ones are kind of annoying because it's like, well, you should have had that. My thing is just like, here's my new number.
You would still post that amongst your group of the people on Facebook and stuff?
I would not Facebook friends. Like, you obviously have to call it. Like, I would just say, like, there's a... Like, a certain groups of people, like my close friends, my coworkers, I don't know, my doctor's office or whatever. You know, like there are certain people that need to know it. And I think it extends past close friends, but not necessarily acquaintances. Like, there's more than just the close friend circle that have to know it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I sent it to most everyone, all of my close friends. I sent it to the people that I'd contacted within the last 6 months.
Oh, I see.
Which are mostly close friends and schoolmates and things like that.
Right.
Right? The people in the U.S., some of them didn't understand that it was not just an international number.
The people in the U.S.?
The people in the U.S.
Oh.
That was usually the case. There's the people in the U.S. The people here who use that number, they didn't understand. So my Dutch number and my WhatsApp number were different.
You have a Dutch number?
I had a Dutch number.
Oh.
So they didn't understand that I no longer had the Dutch number. And so when they tried to call the Dutch number, it didn't work. They tried to call in the old American number. So they weren't sure which number to use.
It just sounds like you were confusing everybody.
No, it sounds like they were... That's not my... The Americans is not my fault.
Using everybody.
The Americans is not my fault. I told them, this is my new number. You can contact me via text message, or you can even call me now. As long as it's plus one. The Americans are not my fault. I explained to them that it was both international and U.S.
It's because you're an expat.
With the other people, I had two different numbers, and they didn't know how to deal with those two different numbers.
I'm just going to say it's because you're an expat.
Yeah. Problems of traveling, man.
Problems of being an expatriate.
Yeah.
Are you an expatriate now?
No, I think technically an expatriate is someone who leaves the country because they're working for a company. I don't know if
I don't know what the technical definition is, but it's I've always thought of it as an American citizen living abroad with no intentions to come back.
Really? I never thought of the other one. I thought of it as an American citizen living abroad for working for a company.
Well, because if you think about
abroad, because I think of all the people who live in the Middle East who work for oil companies. They intend on coming back, I imagine. I don't think they intend on living in Saudi Arabia. In the camps.
Well, that's different because they're living in the camps, not living with amongst the people. Like I think back to like F. Scott Fitzgerald and like his that group of authors.
Yeah.
They lived abroad. And I don't know if they had a job per se. I guess
being authors,
but they were expatriates because they didn't live
because they didn't live in the U.S. and they retained citizenship.
Right.
No, I think I was always under the impression that it had something to do with working. You're an American who's sent abroad.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's also all of the expatriate networks I've seen are for professionals, not for anyone else.
Right. I think where we're disagreeing is just, like, whether or not they...
Why they go abroad.
Have a job. Right.
Yeah. Right. Well, I don't think it has anything to do with the intention of coming back or not, because the U.S. government makes a distinction between
those
people.
Because a large part of the expat community are retirees. But you know who would have a better understanding of that is Chris.
That's true.
So, yeah.
So my understanding of expats is, at least within my demographic, they're workers. They come from, they're white-collar workers whose companies have sent them abroad. And there's not this, like, I think you're right, especially in the Philippines, expats are people who move to the U.S. and they have no intention of coming back. I think across the age spectrum, though, whether or not you intend to come back is not an issue. Because the U.S. government, when they're taxing you, they ask you specifically that question.
Ask you what?
Whether or not you're a bona fide resident of the country that you're in, which basically means, do you intend on coming back to the U.S.?
I guess I struggle with that because if you no longer have if you're there for a job, you're typically there for a short amount of time, right?
I don't know. The one person I know who's actually done it has not been here for a short amount of time. She's here indefinitely. Sydney
Jones?
Yeah.
Oh.
She was only supposed to be...
You probably shouldn't, like, mention her outright and just, like...
You're the one who said the last name, man.
I don't know. I don't know if Sydney... Who's Sydney?
Yeah.
Smith?
Because Jones isn't very common either.
Wow, you just said it again.
Whoops.
Donica. Well, what about her?
So she was only supposed to live in the UK for a few years. right? Mm. When that was endangered and when that was up, she chose to live in Belgium.
Yeah. So that makes her an expatriate.
But she's, again, here for work. And it's she doesn't necessarily have the intention of never returning to the U.S. Oh. Hmm. She just wasn't ready to at the time.
Interesting. So she's not a dual citizen or
no. whatever? No. Well, I mean, you cannot be dual British citizen.
Oh, you can't?
Actually, many countries in the many countries do not acknowledge dual citizenship. Hmm. Most countries don't acknowledge it.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, I think we're at our hour mark. I think we're actually a little over an hour, and I'm tired. I'm ready to sleep. Good episode. Good learning experience. I hope you guys learned a lot. I have.
Got my compulsive nature to skip, but it's not compulsively. It's not disordered compulsive.
It's
not
caged, pathological. It's, from now on, it's caged bird syndrome.
Yeah.
The title of this episode, Donnie,
and about Francis's bouginess.
It's gonna be interview. With Donica Tan, Cage Bird.
Let's not forget that the first half of this segment was Francis and his bouginess.
I mean, Donica, this podcast is about me. About me and all of my aspects. My audience already knows that. That's it for our show, folks. I'm your host, Francis Tan. Follow us on our Instagram at hkaf.productions. We post every other week. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And until next time, the best ship to sail on is friendship.